Amen. Now, last week, we were reminded that the joy of the Lord is what?
Our strength.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we should enjoy those victories that we have in the Lord. Amen. Because we're going to need them. That cements our belief and our relationship with God, and we will need it during the most challenging, difficult times. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking about something else that's also similarly important in our walk as Christians. The subject for today is gratitude. Somebody say gratitude.
Gratitude.
Gratitude, that's right. But not only your thoughts and feelings of gratitude, which are very important, but we're talking about the outward manifestations of your gratitude, the outward evidence of your being grateful. We listen to that song every time we have offering, grateful, grateful, grateful. But how grateful are we really, and how much does it show? Are we grateful for what others do for us? Family, friends, co-workers, occasionally even a complete stranger. How grateful are we for what God does for us? How grateful are we? How grateful are we for what Jesus did on the cross? How grateful are we? If we're not grateful, we've got a major problem on our hands, do we not? But if we are grateful, then the question we're trying to answer today is, how does it show? It's easy to say, well, I'm grateful. I know I'm grateful. God knows I'm grateful. Why do I need to show anything? Well, guess what? God cares. It does matter. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Last week, we were taught not to suppress our joy because it's our strength. Today, we're focusing on the importance of showing gratitude. Now, notice what I did not say. I didn't say that we're just focusing on gratitude. Yes, it's important to be grateful. But this is about the importance of showing gratitude. Say that with me. Showing.
Gratitude.
Showing.
Gratitude.
Now, sometimes we're not grateful enough to our God and our Savior. And it shows up in our commitment levels. And it even shows up sometimes in our worship. He'll give us a whole week of his air to breathe and all of his sustenance, and we'll show up and give him a half-hearted praise. Sometimes we're not grateful enough, and it shows. But if we're truly grateful, our gratitude should be on display and with no doubt. Amen?
Amen.
Leaving no doubt. And I'm trying to impress upon you that it matters to God. Not only your thoughts, not only your feelings, but your words and your actions. They matter to God. Now, our text this morning to try to get this point across to you will be found in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke, chapter 17. Verses 11 through 19, and our subject is showing gratitude because it matters to God. Now, before we go to our text, I'm glad you found it, but we're not going to go there yet. I have something that I want you to do. I want you to get something into your mind that you are grateful for. I want you to bring that to your remembrance, and I want it to be something that you're grateful for, that someone in this room this morning has done for you, or something that they've done that you've been blessed by. I want you to get into your mind something that you are grateful for, that someone in this room today has done for you, or something that they've done that has blessed your life. And as you get that together in your mind, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. We're going to take the time, and I want you to go to that person or persons, and I want you to express your gratitude. And I want you not to hold back anything. I don't want you to water it down. I don't want you to try to be cool with it. I want you to express your gratitude for what they've done for you or the blessing that they've been. And I want you not to hold back. I want you to leave no doubt. And I will be patient and I will wait. You are getting into your mind something that you are grateful for that has been done by someone here in our midst, or something that they've done that has blessed you. And I want you to go to that person or persons and express your gratitude, not holding anything back and leaving no doubt. Now, I could have played the song Breaking Those Chains, because I know that we are often bound in these areas, holding back our joy. We've done that. We've talked about that. Now God wants to help us move past this issue of showing gratitude, not just being grateful, but displaying it. Amen. You should be even more sensitized to and understand the importance and the power of showing gratitude. I have a little nugget for you. Actions speak louder than words, but they don't replace them. Especially when those words are, I'm sorry, thank you, and I love you. That whole saying about actions speak louder than words implies a binary choice that you either get the actions or the words. And no one is edified or blessed by your empty words. And so actions speak louder than words. But if you're sorry and you just act like you're sorry, but you never say it, there's still something missing. If you love somebody and you just act it out, and that's supposed to be enough, there's something missing. And if you're grateful and you think you're just acting grateful and you never say it, then there's something missing. I didn't get a chance to tell all you guys everything I wanted to say. I try to say so as often as I can. I don't hold back. I believe I know the power of gratitude, but Deacon, I don't know if I can get through this, though, if I do it. So grateful for your commitment. We all talk about how you got here, but we could say so much about what you've done and what you've been since you've been here. We're a small church, small but mighty, but we've never been less than what you want. You've always wanted exactly what it is we are at whatever stage. And that commitment, that embracing who we are and becoming part of us and letting us be part of you, letting us come into your lives, letting us love your kids means so much, because we really do love them. Allowing that means a lot. And Bridget, I could say a lot, but I'll say thank you for being obedient and also trusting us and letting me be your pastor. I know that this is a big change for you, but I'm grateful for the spirit with which you've done this. And opening yourself up and being really a part of us so quickly and allowing us to love you and allowing us to embrace you. We know that you were leaving someplace, but we've always had a chance to feel like you were coming to us. Oh, my goodness, we'll be here all day. To my son, thank you for loving me. And thank you for allowing me to love you, and thank you for making me so proud with all of your accomplishments. And you're not done yet, but thank you for always doing your best. And you know what I expect. Thank you for allowing me to expect it as a father. Thank you for allowing me to be a father and not expecting something else. There was a time I wasn't sure I was going to get that opportunity, but thank you for giving it to me. Because we don't have a right to these things, people allow us to be. what we are in their lives. Amen. Amen. Thank my daughter-in-law for loving my son and for loving me and for having just such a good heart. I recognize that. It's totally clear to me that you have a golden heart, and that is a gift. That's a gift to my son. It's a gift to us. It's a gift to the church. And we're so grateful that we crossed paths and that you've come into our life, church and personal. To my daughter, man, I've said so many things over the pulpit, so it probably doesn't even need to be said. I think I'll simply say thank you for letting me be your dad. Your heart doesn't come cheap, and it never should. And I'm grateful that God gave me what it took to climb that mountaintop and to get the most precious love that a father could imagine, to have an opportunity to have a daughter. I have two sons, and it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's irreplaceable. But I have a daughter who actually loves me, who literally loves me. And I'd jump in front of a bullet for you, as I would all of my family, without question, without hesitation. Tiana and Renee, I know we give you shout outs, but you really do matter. You're genuine, you're real, and we can tell that when you come. And Tiana, you know, there's something, I've tried to get it across to you whenever you come and I embrace you and say hello and we have a brief conversation, but I still don't feel like I've ever gotten it across accurately or effectively. You are beautiful as you are. You are beautiful just the way you are. You're young, and I know you're dealing with teenage stuff, and life is happening, and I know it can be difficult trying to figure out who you are. But I just want to affirm, I want you to understand, no matter what you're challenged with, no matter what you're dealing with, you are amazing just the way you are. And I'm grateful that you come here and you let us experience you, the you that God made you to be, no matter what you might be struggling with. I need you to know, this is God wanting me to tell you. I've told you this over and over again, and it's because God wants me to tell you this. I don't know your personal situations, but I do know that you need to know that you are amazing and that you are beautiful just the way you are. All maybe 6 foot maybe of you at this point. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. A little different, huh? A little bit different. We're talking about what today? Gratitude and what? Showing gratitude. Is it not powerful? Is it not important? So we can't be just thinking and feeling it. We need to show it. Let's go to the Word. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, where we find Jesus and his disciples doing a little traveling. And I'll read it all the way through, and then we'll come back to it. And it came to pass, from the King James, as he went to Jerusalem, that is Jesus and his disciples, that he passed through the midst or the middle of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met he 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, there's so many sermons in here, it's a smorgasbord for a preacher. You could have a whole sermon on as they went. They were cleansed or healed. Verse 15, and one of them, just one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice, notice this, a loud voice, he glorified God. Verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet, that is Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was, parenthetically, a Samaritan. And Jesus, answering, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger, meaning a foreigner. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. I really could take this section of scripture and I could riddle off easily seven sermons. Amen. But we find here Jesus and his disciples traveling through essentially for them a cultural ghetto. We're talking about really this is enemy territory, the Samaritans. They didn't like the Jews, and the Jews definitely did not like them. And when you get to verse 13, you see that the lepers are asking Jesus for help. And why are they asking? It's because they had a terrible, terrible plight. Leprosy is a terrible, terrible disease. It disfigures you and causes you to look like something that's nearly unrecognizable. And what many people don't know is that it attacks the nerve endings so that you can't feel anything. And so you injure yourself repeatedly. And so you have excessive injuries. And then on top of that, to add insult to injury, in the Bible days, you were socially deprived. Because this was a contagious disease, you had to stay away from all of the people, including your family. And all that you had to hold on to was the company of other lepers. Now, beyond the medical and the mental and the social challenges that these people had, this disease was also viewed as a curse from God because of some sin. And so what that meant is those that had it, they felt they deserved it because God was clearly punishing them. So when they ask, and we go back and we see that when they ask in verse 13, they what? Lifted up their voices. When we want something, we can surely get it out. When it comes to thank you, and I love you, and I'm sorry, sometimes we get a little laryngitis. But when we want something, we know how to speak up. They lifted up their voices, and they gave him all these props. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, some of your translations might choose to use the word have compassion on us. That is a mistranslation. The word that's translated there, it could in some context mean compassion. But they weren't asking Jesus to feel sorry for them. They were asking for mercy. Remember, they were sinful. They were guilty, being punished, having been sentenced. So they were literally throwing themselves on the court, asking the court for clemency, asking the court for pardon, asking for their sentence to be removed. They were literally asking for mercy. They were asking for something that no man could give. They were asking for something that only God could give. They were asking for spiritual forgiveness. They were asking for spiritual absolution. They were not just asking for a disease, just some healer, just some magician, just somebody who knew how to heal the body was not enough. They were asking for mercy. They were deprived physically. They were injured mentally and emotionally, and they were ostracized. And they were also down on themselves spiritually. Amen? Amen. Now, when we look at verse 14, we see here Jesus, when he saw them or heard their request, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, of course, this requires faith on their part to be obedient, right? And we know, because we're reading it after the fact, that as they went on, they were cleansed, they were healed. But what I want you to pay attention to here is what Jesus has done here in verse 14. What he's done is he's made a very important decision that actually lays the groundwork or sets the stage for the lessons that we learn here in this story. Jesus could have healed them immediately. Had he healed them immediately, no doubt they would have given him all of the praise. They would have thanked him immediately on the spot. But it wouldn't really have challenged their faith and their obedience. Jesus also could have healed them just before they got to the priest. He could have forced them to have the faith to go all the way there and maybe think they're looking stupid. And they're getting closer and closer to where the priest is, and they know they're not supposed to be close to other people. But he could have challenged their faith that way. But he also would have made it very difficult, very challenging for them to have the opportunity to actually give their praise, their glory, their honor, and to show their gratitude. But by doing it the way that he did it, by healing them on the way, he created a decision point for them that would be very revealing. Each one of them had to decide on their way, as they were partially there, they had to decide whether or not it was important enough to go back and to give their gratitude, to show their gratitude. Now, they all wanted to get back into society. They all wanted to look like themselves again. They all wanted to see their families again. They all wanted this, but they all had to decide, because they were partway there, whether or not it was important enough to turn back around and to give God the praise. Amen?
Amen?
I'll use an example for us. Anybody drive to work? Some of us drive quite a ways, right? You ever get in your car and you're on your way and you maybe get on the freeway or you're about to get on the freeway and you forgot something. Ever happened to you? Do you turn back? It depends, right? It depends on how far you've gone and what it is. That's right. That's right. How far you've gone and what it is. What if it's just your favorite pen? You probably keep on going, don't you? You can live without your favorite pen for a day. But ladies, what if it's your lipstick and your makeup? Now, some of you do it while you're in the car, but others do it once you get to work. Now, what if it's your lipstick or your makeup? Are you willing to get to work and have a plain face? Are you willing to let them see what you really look like? Would you turn around? Depends on how important your reputation is to you. Amen? Many women don't drive in their normal shoes. They take their shoes off, they put on slippers and things like that. And what if you didn't have your pumps in the car? What if they weren't in the back seat or next to you? What if you were halfway to work? Would you turn back to get those pumps? Partly depends on how far you are, and it partly depends on how important it is for you to wear those pumps. What if it's your wallet? What if it's your cell phone? Nowadays, back in the day, our wallet would have been more important. I bet you your cell phone's more important today. You'll take your chances on getting stopped, and you'll do without your wallet for a day, but the cell phone? You know you're going back to get that cell phone. You unless you're at work, unless you're all the way there, you're going back to get that cell phone. Am I right? I'm wrong? You won't go back to get your cell phone, or was it just the noise threw you off? What if you left something on the stove, or you think you did? Will you turn back as you go back and forth and back and forth? What's the point that I'm trying to say? The point is, whether you turn back or not depends on how far you are and how important the thing that you left behind is. And I'm here to tell you, some things are worth being late for. Some things are worth going back for. Some things, and those things include the opportunity and the willingness to show your gratitude to both people and to God. I hope that the exercise that we just did helps you to understand that not only does it matter to God, but you have an effect on people, and people have an effect on you if you stop holding back. You're dampening your joy by not enjoying the wonderful victories and celebration that God gives us in life. But you're also holding back healing for yourself and for others, encouragement, building each other up, because we hold back the things that we are grateful for. Actions speak louder than words, but they do not replace them. When the words are thank you, I love you, and I'm sorry. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now let's look at verses 15 and 16. It says here, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he realized he was healed. What did he do? One of them turned back. Not only did he turn back, but he said with a loud voice, he glorified God, and he fell down on his face and he gave thanks. And he mentioned he was a Samaritan. This man went against the grain. Can you imagine the conversations they must have had? I want to get back and praise God. I want to get back and say thank you, guys. We need to go back and say thank you. But some of the others said, no, man, I can't wait to get back into society. I'm lonely. Somebody else says, I miss my family. And so this one guy went against the grain and went back. He broke ranks and went back to return to give glory to God. Will we be that one? Are we being that one? Or are we among the nine? Now, this was not convenient. Realize when you go back, it's not convenient. When you open up and you give your full gratitude, not holding back, your pride will try to get you. Your ego will try to get you. Don't let that win. Open yourselves up, just like we open ourselves up to the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We must be willing to say thank you. We must be willing to say I love you. We must be willing to say I'm sorry. It will never be easy, and it will often not be convenient. But for this one man, it was important. Is it important to us? And so he did not hold back. He turned back. He glorified God with what? A loud voice. He didn't hold back. Sometimes we get into the church and we fail to give God as much of the praise and the glory that he deserves. And he also expressed his gratitude. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's look at verse 17 at Jesus' response. Jesus answering him said, were there not 10 cleansed? So where are the nine? What do we learn here? This man has taken his time to go back, and he's done the right thing. He's turned back. He's glorified God, and he's giving his thanks. And yet Jesus, although he acknowledges him, his mind is on the nine. There are many reasons for this. Some of it has to do with Jews versus Samaritans. That's why it's mentioned here more than once that this man was a Samaritan. But the point I want you to get from this is that Jesus clearly cares. You can say, well, of course they must have been grateful. I'm sure they were grateful in their hearts. I'm sure they said in their hearts and in their minds that they were grateful. I'm sure they said in their prayer closet, thank you, Jesus. This tells you that Jesus actually cared, that the other nine did not go back, that it wasn't convenient, that they had other priorities. It matters that you outwardly display and you take the opportunity to use the breath that he gives you to tell him and to show him that you're grateful. Jesus said it. It's clear that it matters to him that you express or show your gratitude. Verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Why does that matter? It matters because they all should have come back. And only this one man did to show his gratitude. only the lesser man, the lesser than, the Samaritan who the Jews tooted their nose up at and looked down upon. What point does this highlight? It highlights the fact that the less you expect, the less you're entitled, the less spoiled you are, the less you take for granted, the more gratitude you will show. And so when we don't show gratitude to people or to God, what is it saying about us? It's saying maybe we are entitled. It's saying maybe we are spoiled. It's saying maybe we're not so grateful. Maybe we are taking them for granted. And so if you come to church and you have an opportunity to praise God, to glorify God, and to thank God, guess what? Tomorrow ain't promising, nor is the rest of today. So we ought to take those opportunities and maximize them. Amen? Amen. And so the nine prioritized and valued the gift, the healing, the cleansing, the going back into the social fabric, the seeing their families, the looking like they wanted to look again. They prioritized the gift more than they prioritized and valued the giver. And this is true sometimes with us when it comes to God and also when it comes to our relationships with people. We can neglect with God and people to show gratitude, and gratitude appropriate for the gift. Somebody can give you an amazing gift that bailed you out of a deep, deep pit, and you can give them a nice little thank you. If you give that, your gratitude should be commensurate with the magnitude of the gift. Do you hear me? So my hope today is that we all understand that while gratitude is important, showing gratitude is equally important. Amen?
Amen.
And it matters to God. So let us commit to being the one and not being the nine. Let us commit to showing our gratitude both in word and in deed, holding nothing back. The enemy uses the fact that we hold back, and he cripples us because we could be lifted up by our brothers and sisters, and we're not. We could be ready for that next challenge because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we're weakened by the fact that we don't bind ourselves to God in those glorious moments. And so, whether it's with God or the people in our lives, but especially with God, let's be that one. And not the nine. Let's show our gratitude and let's not hold back and let's leave no doubt. Look them in the eyes. Let the tears flow. Be vulnerable. God's got your back. If he is in you, he didn't hold back. He cried in the garden. He asked them to pray with him. He put himself up there and he died. And he let himself look like he's humiliated. Don't hold back. Satan wants us to hold back. He wants us to lead with our ego. He wants us to lead with our pride. He wants us to worry about how it's going to turn out. He wants us to worry about how much love we're going to get back. So we hold back. And that's not the person that God is trying to help us to be. So let's be the one. Let's not be the nine. With God and with people, let's understand the importance and the power of showing gratitude.